morning. Good to see all of you here today. Welcome to those online as well that I can't see. Amen. God is good. Over the last number of weeks, not last week, we had a guest speaker from Cuba, but before that, we've been speaking about the different names of God. And I'm sure for some of you, you hear me say that, you're like, well, okay, God's God, you know. What more do I need to know? You know, God's God. But here's the thing, by knowing the different aspects of who he is, by those different names, by knowing him by the different names, it helps us to understand his character and nature better. Amen? So they're going to put up a list of the ones we've looked at over the last number of weeks just to remind us. So first of all, we learned that he's Elohim, the creator. In the beginning, God created, right? And he just didn't create universes and everything that we can see. He created you. He created me. And we need to take this personally. And that's, you know, the personal names of God. Apply it to yourself. He made you. I saw this online thing where Jesus was at a potter's wheel and he's, you know, it looks like he's making a pot. But then as he's making the pot's being formed into a little baby. You know, and then he finishes and he takes the baby up in his arms and he's cradling it. What a picture of what God does with us. He created us out of the dust of the earth, right, and breathed the breath of life into us. And that's how we need to see him as beginning. He is our creator. And then it goes on, you know, Heavenly Father, he's our Abba Daddy. He's the one that is personally your Father in heaven. And you need to realize that. He's not just some far away, cold, distant God, but a loving, compassionate Father that cares for you and every need, anything you care about, he cares for you. And there's a scripture in Peter that says, cast your cares upon the Lord. Why? Because he cares for you. And your Father cares for you. And here's the thing, I'm going to say something. There's a lot of Christians that never call out to their dad in heaven. I don't know why. Maybe they feel that they're not worthy. Maybe they feel they can't. You know, maybe a whole bunch of, there may be some drama in their life. Maybe their natural father wasn't a good father. You know, who knows? But I want to tell you something. Your Father in heaven is for you and not against you. He's got a plan for your life. He wants to help you. He loves you. And he's waiting for you to say, Dad, I need some help here. Can you help me? And he'll just rise up and he will help you. So we go on and he talked about he's your provider, your Jehovah Jireh, not your sugar daddy in the sky, okay? Not that kind of provider, but a provider that he'll provide for your needs, not your wants, but what you really need. He knows what you need, amen? The God who sees me. How many times have you been in that place in life where you're like, oh man, I don't know whether anybody knows what I'm going through. Well, you have a Father that's watching over you. He knows right where you are, and he wants to help you at your point of need. He sees you. He sees you, and he still loves you. He sees when you do insert whatever that is, and he still loves you, okay? When you say that or do that or don't do that or don't say that, he still sees you and loves you. Why? Because his love isn't conditional upon you and I. It's conditional upon what his son did on the cross of Calvary. It's been paid in full. So he is obligated to love us. Amen? And so we go on and we talk about the last time we were together, he's the one that heals, Jehovah Rapha. And here's the thing. He is healing in every way, shape, and form. Sometimes we think that's just talking about physical healing. But we're talking about spirit, soul, and body. That's the God that we serve. He wants to make you complete in him. Amen? So as we move on today, I'm not going to tell you what we're going to talk about till you see it for yourself. Hopefully you can see it. We're going to look at one portion of Scripture, one verse right now, so you can see the name that we're going to talk about. And it begins with the life of Jacob. It's actually, he's on his deathbed. He's at the very end of his life, and he calls Joseph in and his two grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh. He says, look, you know, I want to pray over you. I want to prophesy over you. And he makes a statement which is very telling. And so let's have a look at that. It's found in Genesis 48, verse 15. It says, then he, Jacob, blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my father Abraham and Isaac walked faithfully, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day. So this is the first time in the Bible where we hear God being called the shepherd. And this is just so important because this is key for you and I today. Do you know that not only was God a shepherd to Jacob, he wants to be a shepherd to you and I as well. And what does that mean? You know, does that mean that, we should see God in heaven with a staff, you know, and he's walking around, you know, if we get out of line, he hooks us and drags us back in, or we do something wrong, he pokes us with the other end of the staff. No, that's not the picture I want you to see at all. I want you to see a compassionate, loving, caring shepherd father who is there for you, and he is for you and not against you. You know, so often, we live in a world of, they call it cancel culture, cancel whatever. And the thing is that when a correction happens, often people take it as rejection. And so we cancel them. You know, someone has a disagreement with you. Well, I'm just going to ghost you. I don't even want to talk to you anymore because you don't believe like I do. Or you don't think I do. Or maybe you're of a different political persuasion. Oh, man, talk about a can of worms I'm opening here, right? You know, and so I'm not going to say who I'm voting for either way, all right? I don't want to lose half of you, all right? Because that's the reality of it. You know, half of you for one, other half for the other. But listen to me. Here's the thing. We shouldn't be for either. We should be for Jesus. That's what we should be focused on, amen? But I lost my train of thought. I got all excited with there. But here's the thing. You need to see God when he corrects you. Correction is not rejection. When you have a difference of opinion with him, here's the thing. And I'm going to tell you this. Some of you ain't going to like this. I'm just going to be real with you. Can I be real with you this morning? Okay. His opinion is always right. And if your opinion is wrong, is not the same, it's always what? Wrong. Always. All right? I'm just letting you know, right? You got a problem with that. Take it up with the big guy upstairs, all right? Take it up with your dad in heaven. Because he's always right. Why? Because he always has been, he is, and he always will be. He's time past, time present, time future, all at the same time. In other words, he knows what's best for you right now because he's been there, back, here, and forward in time, all at the same time. He already has a plan for you in your future. So when you follow his direction now, he'll get you to where you need to be in the future. And I know that's hard for our itsy-bitsy minds, at least for my mind. I don't get that. I don't understand how he can be like that, but I believe it. I don't understand it, but I believe it. And are you willing to trust God that he knows what's best for you? Well, beginning to see him as your shepherd is how you do that. So here's Jacob saying, look, he's been my shepherd my whole life. That's what he says. But if you're a studier of the Word of God, you're going to find out that Jacob had a pretty weird kind of life. Like, he was born, a twin. Isaac was his, or Ishmael was, Esau, I'll get the right guy. I'll get him out here. Esau was his older brother by like a couple minutes, like literally, all right, twin brother. And yet Jacob spent his entire life trying to be first, stealing his brother's birthright, stealing. And so as a result of this fighting, he gets put out. He's told, his mother says, look, you can't stay here. Your brother's going to kill you. Go to my brother, your uncle Laban, and stay with him for a while. Now, here's Jacob, a young man, 16, 20 years old, in there somewhere. And he's told to go to Syria, a different land, to go meet with this Laban guy who he's never met. He couldn't even, it's not even like today where you had your uncle so-and-so for a Christmas party and you say, okay, go see your uncle that you met at the party. Listen, no, he had never met him before. Can you imagine as a young person going out by himself, going to a new land, there's no nice highways, no rest stops, it's not like I-90 or, it's not like a main road where you can have all these. It wasn't like that. There's thieves and there's robbers. It's bad, all right? And so he starts out and he's there all by himself going. And so he gets to this place called Luz. And it says it got dark and he took a rock and made it into a pillow. Talk about being in a hard place. Literally, a rock in a hard place. Maybe that's where they got that from. I don't know. But he's laying there, and all of a sudden he has a vision, a dream from heaven. And he sees this ladder that goes from earth to heaven. And he sees angels going up and down, ascending and descending on this ladder. And he sees God on his throne. And he's like, whoa, man, this must be where God hangs out. Like, in fact, he even changed the name to Bethel, House of God. That's what the place became known as. And so there he is, and God spoke to him for the first time. So you've got to understand, up until that point, Jacob only heard his grandpa and his dad talk about God. He had never had a personal encounter with him. And look at what God says to Jacob. And this is in Genesis 28, verse 15. Just one verse. I, the Lord, am with you and will watch over you. wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised to you. So this is the very first time that God speaks, and it was in that vision of the angels going up and down. And so all of a sudden, he makes this connection, right? That God is a part of my life. I pray that every person within the sound of my voice has come to that point that you realize that God wants to be a part of your life. You see, it's interesting, and leave that scripture up for a minute, but Jacob said that God had been, at his old, when he's dying, says, God was a shepherd of my life, my whole life. But hold it, he was probably 20 years old when God spoke for the first time. You know what Jacob recognized? That even before he knew God personally or heard from him, that God had been a part of his life shepherding him. I can't tell you personally how many times God saved my life physically because of stupid stuff I was doing. You know, I was a farm kid. We did crazy stuff. You know, we had the snowmobiles. We had the motorcycles. We had the trucks. We did crazy. You know the stuff you see on TV, you know, the crazy stuff? They ain't got nothing on me. All right, I'm just telling you, all right? You know, the crazy stuff, you know, where they do all the stunts. I did all of that. I don't understand how I'm still alive today, except by the grace of God. Except for that shepherd was there watching over my life, even when I didn't acknowledge him, even when I didn't care really about him. I was just doing my own thing. And I want to tell you that you're here today living and breathing because a shepherd was watching over you even before you gave him the time of day. Now, how much more as a believer, though, do we need to start to listen to God and allow him to shepherd us directly? Because now we're on the inside. As believers in Christ, we're no longer subject to what the world's telling us to do. We need to be subject to the chief shepherd and overseer of our soul. That's what the Bible says. So let's look at this. The Lord says, I am with you, and I will watch over you wherever you go. Listen, this should bring assurance to some of you right now. Some of you are in a dark place. Some of you are going through some difficult times right now. And God promises he'll be with you wherever you go. He says he'll be. You're not an island of your own. There's always two. Even if it's a remote island, sorry, there's always two. You and Jesus, all right? There's always going to be two of you. And he says, I'll bring you back to this land. Because if you remember, he was leaving to go, you know, to see Laban. And God's promising, you're going to come back. And I will not leave you until I've done what I've promised. God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Has God made some promises to you? Just put your hand up. God made some promises to you that you know the Lord spoke to your heart? Well, let me assure you, if God has made that promise, he will see that it will be fulfilled as you continue to commit your life to him, as you let him be your shepherd, right? And so let's look at the definition, the biblical definition, the Hebrew word. Here it is. They're going to put it up. Jehovah Ra. And the Jehovah part is the eternal self-existent one. That's Jehovah. He don't need nobody, all right? That's Jehovah. But then the last part, Ra, is the one who shepherds us. But that actually means more than, shepherd isn't just somebody standing in the field again. It means to tend or to feed or to rule over us. Now, the minute I say that, we're like, whoa, 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 time out here. I can sign up to the shepherd part. But what do you mean, rule over me? You know, I'm starting to have a little trouble with this now. I don't know about you, but I remember reading that for the first time, and I'm like, well, hold it. You know, aren't I supposed to have autonomy to kind of do what I want? Well, let me tell you something. You can do whatever you want. God won't stop you. You literally can do anything you want. But how's that working out for you? Just ask him. But if you're willing to begin to listen to the chief shepherd, begin to follow his direction and his guidance, all of a sudden, your life will be going in good places. All of a sudden, things that were not well in your life, health and wholeness will begin to happen in it. But it's a choice that we make. Just, in fact, I didn't say this at the first service, but the Lord just reminding me about this. You know how, well, you maybe don't know, but if you had a herd of cows, how do you deal with herding cows? Let me tell you. You get behind them, and you drive them. That's why they call it driving cows. So you get behind them and move them along. Do you know that you can't do that with sheep? You can't. In fact, it's kind of like herding cats. Anybody ever had a group of cats, and you're trying to herd them together? And what do? They just all go 100 different ways, don't they? That's what they do. But how do you get a cat's attention? Does anyone know here? Because you probably don't know about sheep. So let me ask, how do you get a cat's attention? Well, I know what we did on the farm. You wanted all the cats to gather? You'd say, I got milk for you. And you put the milk in the bowl, and every cat from creation shows up, right? They just, boom, there they are. Well, it's the same for sheep. You can't drive sheep, but you have to lead them. And that's the thing. God won't drive you anywhere. He won't force you to do things. The devil will try to do that. That's what the devil does. He torments you and tries to drive you to do things. God doesn't do that at all. He has a still, quiet voice. And when he speaks, it's love and compassion and grace. And the thing is, you then choose, are you going to follow that master's voice or not? And so it's far different than the way the world operates, right? And so you and I have to come to a place of learning to hear that voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit, and then not just hearing it, but actually following it and being led by it. My dad, when I was a kid, I was about 5, 6 years old, he said, go bring the sheep in. And I think he was just in one of those kind of moods where he just wanted a good laugh. So I didn't know that you couldn't drive sheep. I thought you could drive them like you drive cows, right? So I go up behind him, and I'm trying to do it, and they're all just going around me, and my dad's just laughing his guts out, just busting his guts out. And I'm getting frustrated, like even little tears are starting to form. Like, I'm trying to help, and I can't do it. You know? And he says, let me show you, son, how to do it. And so he had this little can, and he had some oats in it, because that's what sheep really like. And so all he did, because he'd been doing this for years, he tapped the can on the side of the door of the barn. And the sheep, all of a sudden, their heads all pop up, and then they look and they see him, and they all just walked over to him. And he says, son, that's how you gather sheep. That's how you gather sheep. Let me tell you something. That's how God wants to gather you. He's got good food for you. He has sustenance for you. Are you willing to listen to the master's voice? Are you done being driven around by the enemy? Are you done doing your own driving, going places and doing things that you want to do? Are you ready to begin to listen to the master's voice and listen to his direction? He'll bring you to good things, amen? And so, in fact, with that in mind, there was a shepherd king in the Old Testament. Anybody know the name of that guy? I'll get that name right, I promise you. Anybody know who that guy is? David, yep, David, that's who it was. He said some things, but I want to look at just 3 short verses concerning David and shepherding and what he said to God concerning who God was to him. And it's found in a very famous portion of Scripture, Psalms 23. And here it is, New King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. How many people have read this? Hopefully dozens of times over the years. You know, if you've been in this church, I know Pastor Vic has preached on it. I've talked about it different times. Lots of people have talked about it. And the thing is, you need to understand that the Bible is like an onion. And what do I mean by that? It's got layers and layers and layers. In fact, I pray that no one here has read the Bible once and then kind of said, okay, been there, done that, popped it on a shelf, and now it's collecting dust. You need to be reading the Bible over and over again. And you don't need to read the whole thing in a day, all right? Just little bits at a time. Little bits at a time. And as each year goes by, as you're reading, it's like that onion. All of a sudden, there's new layers and new truths and new revelation that God wants to give you. So my hope is you maybe get a little bit of something out of this today. Maybe a little different than what you thought of. So he says, the Lord is my shepherd. Well, okay, I get it. You know, the guy with the staff, you know, and he's watching over me. But he's more than that, especially in context. How about we insert this? The Lord is the one who feeds me. I shall not be in need. Now think about that. Everything that you need for life and for godliness is found in Christ. Everything. And how often do we still search the world to find satisfaction in the different things that we say and do? How many times do we do that? And David is saying, look, and let's context here. Let me give you context. He was a king. He had all the money. He had all the prestige. He had the title. He had all the stuff. He had everything that you could ever imagine. And you know what he still says? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. In other words, he is the one that satisfies every need. Now, all of you, you're nodding your head as you're sitting here in church. But here's the thing. He's everything you need for Monday morning, too. And Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. You get what I'm saying? Not just Sunday morning when I'm in my church thinking. It's when you're at your job, he's everything that you need. You get what I'm saying? In your relationships, do you know that most relationship issues is because one or both parties are not focused on Jesus? That's just, you know, I'm doing a marriage seminar upstate in a couple of weeks, and that's going to be my opening statement. I probably could just leave then, right? Because that's the top and bottom of it. But we're going to try to explain what that means and how that works out in our lives. And it all comes down to beginning to listen to the shepherd's voice. So we go on and it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Well, what's that all about? Well, let me tell you something. You can't make a sheep do anything. Remember how I told you you can't drive them? Well, you cannot make a sheep lie down. So when is the only time a sheep will lie down? When it feels safe, when it feels secure, and when its belly's full. The only time. Because if any one of those three is a no, then that sheep is up looking around, worried about what's going to happen to it, or its belly's growling, and it's like, more food, more food, more food. So the point is, David is saying that as I let God shepherd me, direct me, and guide me, I will be fully satisfied. So what does a shepherd do? Well, sheep don't know what's good for them. They have no idea what food is good for them. So what does a shepherd do? Brings them to good pastures. See, you and I don't know what will satisfy us. Now, we think we do. How many people think they know what satisfies? Come on. A couple honest people. Yeah, thank you. The rest of you guys, you need to repent. I'm just telling you. All right? But the thing is, God knows what's best for us. And if we would submit to that, he will lead us to the food that will satisfy us. That when we lay down at night, we've got joy in our hearts, and we feel full. So we're not in that restlessness like sometimes we are. Amen. And it goes on, it says, he leads me beside still waters. Well, water in the Bible is often speaks of the work of the Holy Spirit. And so he brings us to his presence, right? Isn't that what God wants to do all the time? Bring us into his presence, right? And then it says, he restores my soul, and then he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. It's kind of like a little bit weird. All right, here's the thing. When you and I tell a story, like let's say one of you was in a car accident. So you're going to, one of two ways you're going to tell me the story, all right? You're going to come up to me and say, Pastor Carl, I wrecked my car. I was in a car accident, and here's what happened. And then you'll go on and give me the details, right? So that's one way. What is another way that you might tell me the story? You might come and say, Pastor Carl, you'll never believe what happened. I was at the intersection of blah, 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 and then this car did blah, 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 and then I got hit and I wrecked my car. So what have I done? I've given you two different illustrations. One is you made the main point at the start, and then you explained it. And then the other way you'll tell the story is you do a lead up, right? It's kind of like, dun, 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 you know, and the music gets louder and louder until you give the final point. And so that's how we talk. That's what we do here. But in the Bible, they don't talk that way. They do what's known as Semitic type writing. And even Jesus did this in the New Testament, in the parables and things. So here's what he would do, or other people, David and other people. They would start talking, they would make the main point, and then their last points would kind of support the main point in the middle. And that's literally what we have right here. So in Semitic writing, the main point isn't at the start or at the end, but actually in the middle. So what's the main point here? The main point is he restores your soul. And what does that mean? He wants to fix your thinking. Does anyone need any fixing of their thinking? My wife would tell you yes. That's why both my hands are up. You know what I'm saying? In other words, we all need help with that. We need restoration. And that means to be fixed as if we never got messed up in the first place. Has anybody here been messed up by life? A few people? A couple people? I got one honest person in the back. All right. Like, seriously, we're all messed up. I shouldn't say that. I'm messed up, all right? And I'm the guy standing here, right? That's pretty scary, right? Now, in other words, because of things people have said or done, or haven't said or haven't done, it's affected me. It's damaged me in my thinking, in my life. You hear where I'm going with this? And so here's the thing. We all need fixed. We all need restoration of our soul, of our thinking. And as we allow God to be our shepherd, as we allow him to direct us by his still small voice, he helps us to fix all the brokenness in our life. How many people want to be fixed? I hope a few people. Well, I got the answer for you. It's Jesus, the shepherd Jesus. He wants to help you, but he won't force you. I've seen this over and over again where you come to that valley, right? That valley of decision, I call it. And you know God's speaking to you to go this way. But what do we do sometimes? We go this way. And that's just the nature of sheep. Do you ever wonder, why did God call us sheep? There is a reason. Now, I'm going to let you come to your own conclusion on that. I've got a couple little video clips that I want to show you of some things that happened to sheep, all right? And my hope is that we can maybe connect and relate to these to maybe avoid their pitfall, all right? So go ahead, you want to run that first video clip? All right, this sheep is caught in a little ditch, so they're rescuing it. It's awesome, right? There it is, they get the sheep out. Sheep is happy. He's free. He's free. He's free. He's free. He's not free. He's not free. Now, can anyone here relate to that? Jesus comes and he helps you. He rescues you. In fact, the word says he sets your feet, you know, brings you up out of the pit, sets your feet on the ground, right? And then what do? You're like, yeah, I'm free. And then whoop, you fall right back into where you were. Well, we don't watch the rest of it, but they do rescue the sheep again, all right? The point is, God needed to intervene. A shepherd needed to intervene. And there are times in our lives that needs to happen too. Okay, next video clip. Okay, now somehow this mother sheep got caught in a swing. And she can't get out. And if you'll notice, her babies, they're there. You're going to see them. She's trying to get out. And then there's the babies. They're like, Mom, what's wrong with you? Yep. Yeah, nothing's happening. That sheep's not getting out of there. So then here's the shepherd, right? Comes along, lifts Mom out. There you go. Back to the babies. Does a little headbutt to the kid. You did this to me. You made me crazy, right? You made me jump. Anyway, so there's a... Now, again, let's just paint this for us. So here you got this mom sheep, right? You got a family, a leader, and they're caught. They're being held back. Now look at how it's affecting the babies. How many times has that happened? I know in my life, as I've allowed the brokenness in me to have an impact on my children, on my family, upon those around me. There's a perfect picture of that. But here's the thing. The good shepherd is there to help you and set you free so that you can now be an example, a positive example to your family and to those around you. All right, one more clip. All right, this is called casting. Their sheep, if they get on their back, they cannot get up by themselves, all right? This is real, all right? And this does happen. I know it looks a little weird, right? But that really happens. You see the rest of the flock?
Oh,
they're like, they've gone
so
on.
Stupid.
They're on, yep. So let's see what happens here. The sheep's on its back. There it is.
How did you get like that?
Yep. Then help me, please. All right, there they go. This is all they got to do. Oop, sheep's free, just like that. Now, if that sheep stayed on its back for 24 hours or more, it would die. Because what happens is the weight of its stomach and contents and it pushes down on its lungs, it would literally suffocate to death after 24 hours. This really happens. I've seen this on the farm. What happens is it happens when the sheep tries to get up and they happen to roll the wrong way. And instead of rolling to go up, they roll on their back. And then they're like that. And that's what happens. And they need a shepherd to be there for them. And here's the thing. You literally may be on your back like that sheep, kicking in the air, saying, God, please help me. Now, there's something that really bothers me. I watched, and you can check this on YouTube. I validated this to make sure that this is true. Do you know little turtles? You know what a turtle is, right? A little turtle? Okay, if you have a group of turtles, and one of them ends up on its back, do you know what they do, the other turtles? They actually come and push on the shell and pop that turtle back over you. In other words, they rescue the turtle. Now, did you see that flock of sheep? Did they even give the time of day to the one on its back saying, please help me? You know, unfortunately, that's how it is sometimes in Christianity as well. You may be on your back and it seems like there's nobody there. There is somebody there, though. Who is it? Thank you. Okay, you got an A today, all right? Jesus is there. The chief shepherd is there. The bishop and overseer of your soul, as the New Testament says, he will help you back up. Please never pray there's no hope. No one's here for me. Listen, there may be no one there for you, but there is someone that is there for you, and his name is Jesus, and he will help you get back up again. Amen? Amen. Just want you to realize that. Now, I want to finish just with a couple of verses. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about Jesus being the shepherd, because he is. So can we just look at a couple of verses there, and we'll just bring this thing home this morning, all right? It's in John chapter 10. All of John 10 really talks about Jesus being the shepherd. But I want to just extract three verses this morning. John 10, verse 9. Jesus says this, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except for to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Just go back to verse 9 for a minute. So Jesus says, I'm the door. Now, you look at that and you're like, oh, what does he really mean by that? Well, you could take it figuratively or spiritually, but let's look at it for a minute physically, okay? So when he says, I'm the door, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Back in the days, in Bible days, when a shepherd had sheep, at night, except for during lambing time, but any other time of the year, the sheep would actually live in his house, literally be with him. And they didn't have doors like we have now. They would often just have like a piece of cloth hanging over the door. And the shepherd would lie across the threshold of the door. And why would they do that? Two reasons. Anybody know? One is to keep the sheep from going out, because remember, we've just discussed this. They're not the brightest light. You know what I'm saying, all right? So to keep them from going, but also to keep the enemy from coming in. And so when he says, I am the door, he's actually saying, look, I'm your protection. I'm there for you. I will watch over you. I will tend you. I will care for you, all right? So that's what he's saying. And what does he say? You will be saved. You'll be what? Rescued, delivered, helped in every way. I just love that. And you will go in and out and find pasture. Well, here's the deal. You don't just stay in a room for your whole life, but the shepherd gets up. He leads you out. He leads you back in. The whole idea is that your life and my life is actually supposed to be a life led by the voice of the shepherd. Now, I don't know about you, but before I knew Jesus, I woke up in the morning and I was like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and this is how I want to do it. But now, if you are one of God's sheep, that shouldn't be the way we should be thinking. It should be, Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. I thank you that you are my shepherd. I thank you you want to guide me. What's the plan for today, Lord? Because I want to follow you because I know you got good things for me today. I'll give you an example. This just happened. Sandra and I went to visit her family up in Canada this last weekend. That's why we weren't here. And so I had I thought my tires on my car were pretty good. But on the way up, one just started being, let's just say, out of round, all right? It was just starting to thump, and I knew something wasn't right. So when I was up there, I was able to find out, where's the tire places, who to talk to. Because I haven't been there for 30 years, so I had to find out who's who. So I found this place, so I set up a time to go, and it turned out I was like the only guy that showed up at the time. A customer left, so I'm there. So I'm talking to the owner. His name is Keith. So he's just there, and I'm there. And so he saw the New York place and said, you're a little ways from home to get tires. So I have to explain the whole thing that used to be my stomping ground. I moved, and the whole deal, right? So then he just starts crying. I'm like, dude, what's wrong, He goes, oh, man, my son just a couple months ago was shot and killed, and I just feel so broken up about it. You know what God spoke to me? He said, son, you know why you had a bad tire? Because I wanted to bring you here. Sometimes we got to remember that our life is just a small part of a big puzzle. And so instead of getting down when bad things happen or when something negative happens, just see it as maybe an opportunity. So I start talking to him, and I say, well, listen, because here's, what is he? He's a lost sheep, isn't he? He's just a lost sheep. He goes, yeah, I know a little bit about God, but really nothing much. I try to pray. I don't know how to pray. So anyway, I talked to this guy about Jesus. Here's the thing, because I don't want to lose thought of this. Not only is God our shepherd, but we're actually to be a shepherd to the lost sheep in our lives as well, whether that be family members or friends or co-workers or whoever. So, this guy, and this guy was rough around the edges. He even apologized. He says, I cuss like every other word. I said, it's okay. So he just kept going. But he kept apologizing. I'm like, it's okay. It's like after a while, it got to be a nuisance. It's like, don't worry about it. But he just kept going. Anyway, but the point is, by the end of the conversation, he had peace in his heart. And that's our job, too. Not only for us to submit to our shepherd, but we are to shepherd those around us. Listen, you've got the good news contained within you, and God wants you to share that. Amen? So back to the scripture just for a minute, if you just pop that back up. It says, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Can I tell you something? The thief works tirelessly to try to keep you from being restored. Every single day, throwing fiery darts at you, throwing thoughts at you, throwing circumstances at you, to try to get you not to be restored. But God wants you to be restored. Why? So that you may have life and have it abundantly. That's what God wants for you. And it only can happen through the restoration process. Amen? That's what God has. All right, next verse, verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Doesn't get any better than that. He is the good shepherd. And when he tells you something you don't like or you don't want to do, let me tell you something. It's the best thing for you. You know those mornings when you don't feel like going to church? And here, I'm speaking to the choir because you're here. But you know what I mean? Those mornings you wake up and you're like, I just don't feel like it. And the Holy Spirit whispers in the back of your head, you should go. So what are you going to do? You're going to listen to the flesh? You're going to listen to, you know, the way the enemy wants to keep you? Or are you going to let him lead you? I can't tell you how many times people come up after service and they said, you know, I just heard this voice telling me, don't go to church today. But I decided I'm going to go anyways. And when they came, God had a word just for them. That's when the enemy works hard. He knows that God's about to do something in your life. Don't listen to those voices, but because he's trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But God wants to bring you life. Amen? And it's just so, so important. Father, I am so grateful for who you are. I thank you that you are our shepherd. And I pray, Lord, that we begin to heed your voice just a little more so that we don't end up in the ditch again, caught in the swing, or on our backs, Lord God, because you are guiding and directing us. But Lord, if we find ourselves there, we trust that you'll be there to rescue us and help us. So bless each person as they go, not only to follow you as the chief shepherd, but reminding us that we're to be a shepherd to those around us as well. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you this morning.